You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Hard forks and digital currencies as Bitfinex recovers from its big heist, cybercrime and hacktivism versus the Rio Olympics, HVAC vulnerabilities, quad router Android chip firmware issues, NSA's alleged trove of undisclosed vulnerabilities looks smaller than thought, a lot smaller. More fancy bear paw prints in the DNC and DCC hacks. Trends discussed at Black Hat, and DARPA's AI capture the flag results are in. Mayhem to win, Xandr to place, and Mechfish to show. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, August 8th, 2016. Bitfinex, the digital currency exchange that lost nearly 120,000 Bitcoin, about $63 million, to theft recently, is beginning its recovery by spreading the losses among its customers. About 36% will be shaved and losses recorded to a BFX token that will either be redeemed or exchanged for iFinex stock at some future time. iFinex, Bitfinex's corporate parent, is working through its recovery from the theft. Some of that recovery will involve a hard fork of the Ethereum public blockchain-based distributed computing platform. We'll hear more about what that fork amounts to a bit later from our partners at the University of Maryland. The other major cybercrime news comes from Brazil, where the Rio Olympics are in full swing. Anonymous, to no one's surprise, is conducting denial-of-service operations against various Brazilian government sites to redress a set of grievances connected with the Games. In the anonymous view of the matter, the Olympics essentially paper over poverty, violence, and police misconduct in and around Rio de Janeiro. Another group, the New World Hackers, took down swimmer Michael Phelps' website shortly after he won his 20th gold medal. They say they're doing it to expose the vulnerability of high-profile celebrity websites, and by extension, other websites. But their concurrent offering of the Bangstresser DDoS tool suggests that this is criminal marketing and not altruistic vulnerability demonstration. If you're down in Rio, what's the cybersecurity situation actually like? A mess, basically. We spoke with Gray Burkhart and Brad Maderi from Booz Allen Hamilton about the cybersecurity situation in Rio. First up is Gray Burkhart.
This is going to be a target-rich environment. Brazil has the most robust internet infrastructure on the continent, the most bandwidth, the most proliferation of both wired and wireless access, broadband access. The cybercrime environment in Brazil is pretty grim. Enforcement, first of all, the legal framework is very weak. These criminal elements in Brazil are very prolific, very well developed. They're known for a wide variety of schemes. What would be most danger to travelers will be ATM skimming, point of sale breaches, where they'll actually get inside point of sale systems and steal credit card, payment card information when shoppers make a purchase, and also various kinds of Wi-Fi fraud. The Olympic Games folks are setting up a dedicated Wi-Fi network around the Games venues in anticipation of having so many people with so many Wi-Fi devices. And this is a great opportunity for criminals to set up their own Wi-Fi networks, mimicking the Olympic networks, and therefore becoming men in the middle and stealing whatever information is being passed from your device to the network.
Brad Maderi warns visitors to be particularly vigilant when it comes to phishing attempts.
And I think there's going to be a lot of scams in terms of, people looking for tickets, people looking to purchase other types of services. I think that, being very, very prudent in terms of what sites you're visiting and what emails that you're clicking on. I think that, with all the public Wi-Fi's down there, being sensitive to visiting unsuspecting and malicious websites using, HTTPS and secure connections.
And it's not just visitors to the games that should be on alert. Here's Gray Burkhardt.
I'd also point out that Brad was mentioning phishing and malicious websites, and that's not just limited to travelers. That's anybody who has an interest in the Olympics, and we expect there to be a lot of people who want to buy memorabilia or be attracted by live streaming of some event which turns out to be a watering hole, and they click on a website and they're infected. So this is a potentially a global threat.
That's Gray Burkhardt and Brad Maderi from Booz Allen Hamilton. Trustwave's Spider Labs reports vulnerabilities in the Train residential ComfortLink XL850 thermostat. This is a smart thermostat that lets users set their heating and cooling schedules remotely from a mobile device. Unfortunately, it also exposes a great deal of information over weakly secured and easily compromised interfaces. It would be possible for an ill-intentioned third party not only to control heating and cooling, possibly damaging a building in addition to simply causing discomfort and inconvenience, but also to gain information about the occupancy times, which of course is interesting to those who wish to schedule burglaries. Trustwave says the Train was receptive to the vulnerability reports and has fixed the issues Spider Labs found. Checkpoint has said it's found four issues with Qualcomm chips widely used in Android devices. They're calling the set of vulnerabilities quad router and say they could be used to trigger privilege escalation and ultimately to gain root access to the affected devices. Not all the vulnerability news is necessarily bad, however. Many in the security industry have long suspected that the U.S. National Security Agency is sitting on a large, undisclosed hoard of vulnerabilities. In imagination, this tends to look like the secret archive shown at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, a vast warehouse filled with everything from Father of Stuxnet to the results of that hackathon the Illuminati hold at the Bohemian Grove every leap day. And you didn't hear that from us. But researchers at Columbia University have looked into it and say, no, really, there's no such trove at all. The NSA really isn't keeping a lot of undisclosed bugs from the rest of the world. Of course, as Russia Today might say, that's what they would say, isn't it? Speaking of Russia Today, they took strong exception over the weekend to advice from the Atlantic Council to countries whose relations with Russia are fraught. The Atlantic Council apparently recommended that countries like Poland consider developing ways of holding Russian cyber infrastructure at risk. This isn't an idea welcome in Moscow. More evidence has accumulated, this time courtesy of ThreatConnect and Fidelis, that Fancy Bear is indeed a Russian government operation, and that, yes indeed, Fancy Bear was behind the DNC and DCCC hacks. Last week's security events in Las Vegas have concluded. Black Hat, DEF CON, and B-Sides are now in the books. But the news from them continues. The people we spoke to in Nevada last week tended to agree on several trends. First, the biggest challenge to the security industry remains the shortage of skilled labor, and the technical solutions people are interested in are those that help small staffs increase their productivity and effectiveness. Vendor and venture capitalists seem equally convinced that the need to address labor shortages will continue to drive the direction of technology's evolution. Second, that shortage of labor also means delivering products, services, and solutions that integrate easily and quickly with customers' infrastructure. There's little demand anymore for difficult-to-implement or operate products that seem destined to become shelfware. Third, the Internet of Things remains a big concern, and here there were many presentations of vulnerabilities in everything from programmable logic controllers to seismic observatories to personal massage devices. Did you know those last are often equipped with Bluetooth? Neither did we, but a team of Australian researchers noticed. Miller and Valisek followed up last year's well-known Jeep hack with a more disturbing demonstration that exploited a vehicle's controller area network, that's the CAN bus. Open Source Security described PLC Blaster, a worm that automatically searches for and spreads among programmable logic controllers. And finally, DARPA's Machine vs. Machine Capture the Flag competition has a winner, announced at DEF CON. If you were betting, here are the results. Mayhem from the For All Secure team took first place and the $2 million winner's stake. Xandra placed second, paying $1 million, and Mechfish showed at $750,000. Get your hacking forms out, Tin Horns. There's a guy that says, can do.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
Joining me once again is Jonathan Katz. He's a professor of computer science at the University of Maryland and also director of the Maryland Cybersecurity Center. Jonathan, we got word recently that the Ethereum project forked their code. Let's start off, can you explain to us what is Ethereum and what's the significance of the code being forked?
Well, yeah, basically Ethereum is a generalization of Bitcoin, or you can view it as a generalization of Bitcoin, where what Ethereum allows you to do is to write these smart contracts that perform computation and then can transfer coins based on the results of that computation, and this is all done on the blockchain. And so what happened a few weeks ago was that there was a fund set up that exactly allowed people to use these smart contracts to invest money, and somebody figured out a way actually to manipulate the contract that defined the fund and to manipulate it in such a way that they were able to steal money from that fund.
And so this left the people who operate Ethereum with a quandary of what to do next, and they decided to fork the code, yes?
Yeah, that's right. So it comes down really to a question of whether or not to believe that the code defines what's allowed and what's not allowed. And so there are people who basically maintain that and are continuing to run what they're calling Ethereum Classic. And they basically say, well, you know, somebody was able to find a loophole, as it were, in this contract that was written. And so by the laws of Ethereum, as it were, that's allowed. And so there's nothing wrong with that. Whereas the people who forked the Ethereum chain basically looked at this and said, well, that's not what was intended to happen. And so that's really an immoral or even an illegal act. And so we want to undo that transaction. We want to undo the fact that those coins were stolen. And so they introduced a fork in the chain. So what's interesting is that you have these two groups of people, one of whom is continuing the original Ethereum chain, and one set of which is operating on this fork of the chain.
And there are people who are saying that this is potentially setting a negative precedent. What's their argument?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there are two things here. The first thing is just this question of whether or not, as I said, whether the code of a contract determines what's allowed and what's not allowed, or whether there are some rules outside the system, as it were, that determine what should be allowed and what should not be allowed. And so part of the ethos of Ethereum is or was that the code should determine what's allowed. And so people exactly like these distributed currencies like Ethereum and like Bitcoin, because they don't rely on any central government to manage the currency, and they don't rely on any set of external laws. You just operate within the system itself. And so from a philosophical point of view, it's sort of an interesting question for people who use these cryptocurrencies. In addition to that, I think it just throws the whole question of the long-term stability of these currencies into question, right? If you're going to have a fork every 6 months, then it leaves people with a question of what their coins are going to be worth in 1 year from now. And so this could really shake up confidence in these cryptocurrencies in general.
All right, we'll keep an eye on it. Jonathan Katz, as always, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.